is love. Love your neighbor as your brother. Love, love, love. Today's scripture reminds me of that song. The Christian religion or Christian spirituality or the Christian message, however you want to say it, can be summed up in the word love. Unlike other religions, which seem to be all about appeasing God or gods by performing the right rituals, Christianity focuses on the love God has for us, the love we give back to God as a result, and a way of life that shares that love with each other. By focusing on that love, we fulfill God's plan for our lives. It all started with God's love for us. God first loved us by creating us and creating a world that would sustain us. When we quit thinking about how to live according to God's loving plan for our lives, we sinned and separated ourselves from God. We fell away from the loving relationship that God intended to have with us. Our selfishness kept us from the loving relationship with God and each other. But God had a plan to restore us and God's relationship with us. That plan showed us the opposite of selfishness. Greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. God incarnate, Jesus, showed us the ultimate loving act by willingly dying for us. In our sinful minds, it's hard to comprehend such a selfless action. But every once in a while, we hear a story about love so great that someone willingly gives their life for another. As we prepare for Mother's Day next Sunday, it's natural for us to think of the love of a parent for a child. This weekend, Terry and I were watching a television show where a mother, who is a police officer, surrenders herself to kidnappers who are holding a gun to the head of her son. Her love for her son superseded her desire to survive. I suspect many parents have felt such a love. Such a love would gladly endure suffering if it would take suffering from our children. Sometimes such great love is called selfless love, meaning the well-being of the one being loved is more important than our own well-being. Put another way, true love is unconditional. That is, true love is not loving for the sake of getting something in return. This is illustrated and demonstrated powerfully in the idea of dying for someone. If one dies, obviously there's nothing gained in return. When we say God is love, we're not saying that our concept of love defines God. What we are saying is that God, who revealed God's self to us through Jesus Christ, defines what love is. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice of love by dying for us. Jesus performed the ultimate act of unconditional love. So, love created us and love redeemed us. Love also defines how we should respond to our creation and God's redemption of us. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. One way to hear that verse is to say obedience is a demonstration of love. Another way to hear it is that love in itself is obedience to the commandments. In other words, love fulfills the commandments. As you recall, the first tablet of the Ten Commandments is all about love of God. True love for God does not worship other gods, does not worship idols, does not take the Lord's name in vain, and keeps the Sabbath as a holy day. The second tablet of the Ten Commandments is all about love of others. True love for others will lead to honoring father and mother, prevent murder, prevent adultery and stealing, and avoid lying and covetousness. One who is loving toward God will keep the first commandments. One who is loving toward others will keep the other commandments. Keeping the commandments is consistent with love. Breaking the commandments is inconsistent with love. When I was a kid, a popular thing among Christians was to wear a bracelet that had WWJD on it. Stood for, what would Jesus do? Ever wonder what kind of bracelet Jesus would wear? I recently saw a cartoon with Jesus wearing a bracelet that said, what would I do? I'm not sure how that would help Jesus, but a helpful way for us to make the decisions in life is to consider the question, what would Jesus do? The simple answer to that question is always, what is the most loving thing we can do? That is not always easy to answer. But it again illustrates that love is central to keeping the commandments. As Jesus said it, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. That is the sum of the law and the prophets. Another way love is central to the Christian faith is to use love as our hermeneutic. Well, all that means is our interpreting principle. How we interpret Scripture. So if Jesus said it, loving God and loving neighbor is the central message of the law and the prophets, then we should look for the most loving way to interpret the law and the prophets. If the result of our interpretation is not a loving result, then we need to take a hard look at our interpretation. This helps keep us from finding verses just to support our own agenda and keeps our interpretation lined up with God's agenda. The result of living the love Jesus describes is that we bear fruit. Today's passage comes immediately after the passage we talked about last week, where Jesus says he is the vine and God is the vine dresser. And as we talked about last week, throughout the Old Testament, Israel was seen as the vine. Now, Jesus is talking about those who love him as being grafted onto that vine and bearing fruit. This is a helpful and hopeful image. As branches of Jesus the vine, we have his strength to live the love he commands. We are not expected to go it alone, but have the strength of Jesus. We abide in him. We live through Him. We love through Him. We are able to keep the commandments through the love that flows through Him to us. You might ask, how do we access that power that flows through Christ? How exactly do we abide in Him? Jesus modeled for us how to abide in Him by showing us how He abided in His Father. Jesus kept constant contact with the Father through prayer. We must also keep constant contact with God through prayer. For each of us, this might look a little different according to how we best feel God's presence with us. It might be envisioning a walk with Jesus, telling Him our concerns. It might be a time set aside for silence when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and transform us. It might be kneeling beside our bed, speaking to our heavenly parent. However we do it, it is important to regularly practice God's presence through prayer. Otherwise, we're trying to bear fruit without being part of the vine. Thanks be to God, we do not have to go it alone. Amen.